Take your Bibles, Romans chapter 12, turn over there. But you, and I don't know if Brother Delaney experiences this or not, but I do, all right? When I'm up there, I'm just sitting in the pew, and I get to be a person that has no other responsibility outside of open the Bible, listen to the preacher, and respond to the Word. I don't have to worry about, okay, I'm going to get up, and we're going to have to do this after it's done, and, you know, is anybody, you know, what's going on? I don't have to worry about any of that stuff going on when you're somewhere else, even here, when I'm here. And it was a wonderful message this morning, and I got a lot out of the message this morning, but you're always thinking, okay, you're thinking, what's going to go on now? What are we going to do next? And so on. And as long as you're in your home church, you never get away from that. You don't realize that. There's men, Brother Doug has pastored, the same thing. You're always thinking about what we're doing, what we're going to do next, and so on. And it is really nice to go somewhere, and I don't mean this funny. I really don't mean this funny. But it's really nice to go somewhere where you can just be a church member. It really is. You know, it's weird. A lot of people, when they're church members, well, I wish I was in the choir, or I wish I was doing this, or I wish I was doing that. You have no idea how blessed you are to be able to sit down and just feed at the table. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And, you know, Sonia will get the cooking done, and she'll say, dinner's ready, and we'll come in, and there's the glasses with the drinks in them, and there's the food on the table, and there's the plates. And you literally didn't do anything except sit down and feed. You say, well, it shouldn't be like that. Well, maybe it shouldn't, but I have to tell you, when it is, you just are very privileged. Amen. And again, I want to thank you. Every year the church sends us up there, and I cannot tell you how it's neat. If I was to preach at a church anywhere to the church about their pastor, you know one thing I'd tell them? I'd say, you make sure that you find somewhere, not where you think they should go. You go talk to them and ask them if there's a meeting that they would be blessed at, and you send them full fare and just take care of it. Woo, that broke a lot of amens, didn't it? I believe that. Listen, a church, when the pastor gets charged back up, it's only beneficial to the church. It's only beneficial. Man, I'm going to tell you something. And now, I'm not saying, you know, well, you know, where are you going to go next week? I don't have to go somewhere next week, all right? But I got to tell you, that's one meeting. It's been a blessing to me for years. It's been a great help to me, great help to my wife. And just going and being a church, I could be a good church member. I really could be. I would have no problem sitting in the pew. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to start. I fear to call it a series. But I want to talk to us at least tonight and probably in some consecutive Sunday nights. I want to talk to us about the local church, about this place we are and about this who we are. Because even though there's things we need to be reminded of, and even though the spirit may be good and the singing may be good and we might enjoy each other, it's important for us to understand how a body works. This is a body. And it's important for us to understand how it works and for us to find our place in it. And so Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans chapter 12, very, very familiar scripture. And I want you to begin in verse 1. You could probably quote it with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, that to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil, providing things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the next little bit, Lord, help me to convey things that I've thought about, burdens that I've had, even, Lord, as a pastor of this flock, a pastor of this church. And Lord, I know this. I know that what I want to say, I don't think I'm going to be able to get across outside of your Holy Spirit taking and ministering it to the particulars of every heart and mind in the room. And so I truly and sincerely pray you would do that. And Lord, I thank you for what you have given us. It is certainly not perfect, but that has nothing to do with you. It has to do with us. There are so many areas we could improve on, so many areas I could improve on, and yet, Lord, like Lord Brother Delaney said today, this is still the greatest country. It's got all kinds of problems, but there's no other country that would be second on my list to go to. The fact is I'm thankful for that. In the same way, Lord, this is not a perfect church, but Lord, I've been in churches where I've gone to preach, and I'm not sure anybody was singing. Thank you for a church where we hear people sing. Praises to you. And I pray, Father, that you'd bless tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every once in a while, there is a need for the pastor to get up and speak on the... A church is not something you go to. Now, what I'm saying tonight, what I'm going to say right now, is not just wordsmithing. It's not just playing with words. It's true, but I don't want to be too critical. It's kind of, for instance, you know, people have said, well, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I don't mind that statement. I don't mind. It's Lord's Day, Lord's house, good to be here. But technically, this is not the Lord's house. We are the Lord's house. Okay? I can say it like this. It is good tonight to be the Lord's house. I could do that. But I'm not going to make a big issue about that because this is where the body meets. We get together. Technically, this is not the church. This is the church house. This is where we get together. And when we get together to be edified. Our work is out there, but we are continually, always connected. There is no time. It's not just we're a church when we come here. We're a church when you're at your particular place and I'm at my particular place. When you live in your house and I'm in my house, we're still a church. We might be scattered all over Claremont County and Warren County and Hamilton County, Brown County, Highland, wherever. We might be scattered in those areas, but when we're scattered, we're still a church. We are a body. What I do affects you. I didn't say it this morning, and I'm not going to go elaborate on it, but one of the churches that we is on our list to pray is looking for a pastor. And I wondered, because that list is put out at the beginning of the year, and I thought, well, before we do this, and because it was in the bulletin, they're looking for a pastor, and I thought, I wonder if they're still looking for a pastor. And I began to do some searching and research on it real quickly to know if they were or not. And I really couldn't find out if they were, but I did find out that in 2016... the pastor was arrested for immoral conduct. Let's leave it like that. And the pastor is no longer there, and the pastor is in, at least in court battles, if not in prison. And I don't know where and what happened. I don't know the details of it, but I know this. I know, let's just say, the church wasn't together when it happened. They were all in our particular places. But what that pastor did affected that body. There is no given time where we do not affect the body. It's the core idea, as I've told you many times, it's the core idea of why we meet and we partake of the Lord's Supper. They that take unworthily, because they eat and drink to themselves damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. Judas did what he did, never considering what it would do to the body. That little group of followers that followed the Lord, they were scattered all because one man decided, I'll do what I'm going to do and never consider how it's going to affect. There's no time that we, when we get away from here, are not part of the body. And the Bible says, he tells us here in chapter 12, he says that there's many members, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and I think he's talking about a human body there, our physical body. My physical body is not all a head, it's not all hands, it's not all a liver or all kidney or all lungs. We have many members. And all the members have not the same office. Now, with that understanding, how many get the idea? When we're talking about an office here, we're talking about a different function. My kidneys, they don't function like what my lungs do. And my lungs do not operate like my heart does. And my fingers are involved in a different office. And you get the idea. And he says, that's the way the body is. He says in verse 4 or 5, so we, talking about the church, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And the reason we're members one of another, because we're all in Christ. And we have Christ in the cup that ye drink. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which ye break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And we know all that doctrine, and we know that, I don't want to call it theory, but you know what I'm talking about. But until that gets down to what I do, and until that gets down to what you do, it means nothing. Until you say, wait a minute, I have, and this is what I'm going to talk about this evening for a little while, until you say, wait a minute, I have responsibilities. The reason a church functions, and a church functions to the level that all the different members assume their responsibility. As soon as I say that, someone says, well, preacher, I don't really have any responsibility. That's not a member. That's called a cyst. A cyst is something that grows in you, but it never puts anything back. It takes from the body, but it never gives back to the body. And you say, well, but preacher, there's no positions to fill. I want you to back up, and I want to talk for a little while about the responsibilities of a church member. And the first thing I want to talk to you about this evening is the idea of personal responsibility. We find personal responsibility, if you would, in verses 1 and verse 2. Personal responsibility. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. These are individual bodies. These are individual members at the church at Rome. He's not talking about the collective body offering themselves, their collective body, as a sacrifice. This is an individual thing. Every member says, I am going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. He says, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Could I say this? Could I say that in the latter part of verse 2, what we have is we have the purpose of the member. Someone says, well, preacher, I don't know what my office is, that ye may prove. Preacher, here's what we do. Preacher, tell me what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. I don't know. Do you realize this? We've had enough of this for far too long. We've had enough of this. In churches, say, well, you know what your gift is what you're talented in. No, that's not a spiritual gift. Someone, we have pianists and they play the piano well. That's not a spiritual gift. If that's a spiritual gift, what do you do with Liberace? He was a great pianist, but he was anything but... Right? That's just a talent. That's an ability you have. And I'm not against you using your talents and ability for the Lord, but that's not a spiritual gift. The fact is he gives everybody a gift. And I can't explain that. He goes through seven of them right there. There's a couple of other places in the Bible where he deals with them. But he says he gives to them as he wills. He says here that the gifts differ according to the grace given. He gives gifts according to the grace given. You say, well, we're all saved by grace. Yeah, but saving grace isn't where grace stopped. Far too long, don't get me wrong, grace, unmerited favor, say amen. But what we've turned it in is we've turned it into mercy. Because what we say is this, well, I fail all the time, but the grace of God. Well, failing and not getting your head smacked is not grace, that's mercy. You know what grace is? Grace is when God gives me, he enables me to do that, which within myself I could not do. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I would you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. They were willing above their power to give. He said, would you learn something about this grace also? And so, if I'm going to personally be a responsible member of this church, I need to know what my office is. Well, preacher, you're the pastor. Well, that's an office of the church, but that's not the office spoken of here. The office spoken of here are members of a body. Am I a finger? Am I a thumb? Am I a nose? Am I a heart? Am I a head? And you get the idea. And the fact is you will never know it. You will only be given gifts according to the grace given you. Can I tell you why most Christians in churches never know what their spiritual gift is? Because after they got saved, they've never had much grace. Let's be honest. There's some things we do doesn't require a lot of grace. Tithing. I know. Preacher, tithing. Now, you might be in a situation where tithing requires grace. You might be going through this COVID. People lost their jobs, and boy, they were stuck, and they had little, and that might be. But for the most part, can I tell you something? Most part in America, and if you're in one of those situations, certainly I'm not criticizing you, but for the most part in America, churches in America, you don't really feel 10%. Did I just step on a stump there or something? You don't really feel 10%. There are lost businessmen that give more than that to a cause that isn't worth 2 cents, and they have no grace because they've never been saved. They walked in and they threw that into the treasury, and the Lord's sitting there washing. He says, that woman throws in a mite and says, see her, she gave more than any of them. He said, because she gave of her living. It was Job that said, I have esteemed thy word above my necessary food. Listen, when you get in the realm of grace, it's beyond you. Now, I'm not suggesting you go out and say, well, I'm going to try to give 50%. I'm not suggesting you do that. That's not the way it operates. The way it operates is God grows you and he challenges your faith. But when he challenges your faith to get through it, you need some grace. And you know where you get grace? You know where you get grace? You say, get grace from God. I know. You know where you get grace? How about this? Acts 20. I commend you, he says to Ephesus, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. If you are not in the word of God, you're probably serving God out of your will and determination. God bless you for doing that, but there's a lot easier way. It's called the grace of God. And so, if I'm going to serve, now let me tell you this, you get grace, and if you get grace, all of a sudden you say, well, what is my gift? What is my gift? And I've told you this before, you might not know what your gift is. Everybody else will. When I was at church, at the church where my wife and I, we got right with the Lord there, and I began to spend time in the Word and read the Word and study the Word because I took study to show thyself seriously. And I'm studying it, and as I'm studying it, I'm getting filled up with it. And you know what happens when you get filled up with it? You got to let it out. And people watch. I wasn't studying to be a preacher. Never even thought about it. I wasn't studying to be a pastor. I certainly didn't think about that. I wasn't studying for any of that. I was just studying to know him and know his book because that's what he told me to do. And all of a sudden people say, we're just trying to figure out who's going to surrender first, you or Jeff. Now, what were they taught? And by the way, don't ever do that because you're going to mess someone up. Leave them alone. Let God take care of them, okay? God's well able to get them into the ministry if he wants them in the ministry. Too many man-called men and man-surrendered men out there in the ministry today. Well, the fact is I'd never even thought about it. Why'd they say that? Because they saw God doing something in my life through the Word, and they could see it working in me. I bet he's going to surrender to preach. I bet he's going to be a preacher. You may not know what your gift is, but somebody else will. Amen, amen. Mercy. There are people, and I don't know if I can fully understand all those gifts he lists. Giving, administration. I know it's not that word is not in there, but I got to tell you something. God enables people, but what he enables you to do, he enables you to do so this body can function at a greater level. So if I'm going to know what my gift is, if I'm going to get to the gift, the first thing I got to do is back up to chapter 1, where it says, or verse 1, where it says this. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, the first place we've got then is place of a presentation. He wants this body. Understand this. He bought it. It's his. But he wants me by my will, and he wants you by your will to say, Lord, you can have all of me. You can have my time. You can have all my life. You can have me. I don't take my body. This is it. It's a presentation. I think many Christians, it's a scary place. I mean, it can be a scary place to be. If I give him my all, what's he going to do with it? None of your business. If you give him your all, it's all in him. It has nothing to do with you. And he's wanting you to say, you can have it all, Lord. Lord, whatever, I will sacrifice. I just talked to a guy, or just heard a guy, and I can't remember where it was. I can't remember all that stuff, I guess, but I just heard a guy, and they just came back. Was it? It was today. We were over at the restaurant, and he had gone over to Sierra Leone. Wasn't that mission, or that pastor? They'd spent some time in Sierra Leone. We have a missionary, Brother Mustard. He took his family over to Sierra Leone. They're over there now. He's got two little babies over there in a strange country, in a strange culture, with a strange language, and it'd have been so much easier to raise their kids in this country. Why'd he do that? What you saw is you saw sacrifice in real time. You saw I present myself a sacrifice to you, and God says, okay. Do you think that went without him losing anything, without him wishing he didn't have to leave something? Do you get the idea of sacrifice? The church operates because of sacrifice, but if I never come before God and say, God, you can have me all, and I'll sacrifice to you, the work doesn't get done. I've said for a long time that the work of God in the world, at least in America, typically gets by on spare change and spare time. It's not really sacrifice. I've seen it on occasions. I've seen sacrifice on occasions. I've seen people put a lot of time in. As a matter of fact, we've had some guys that have put a lot of time in working and trying to get some things taken care of downstairs on the property here and so on. We've had people go out and pass scripture out. Thank God for all of that. But this is a personal responsibility. I can't make him a living sacrifice. I can't present him a living sacrifice. Well, if you just give me kind of a short list of what he wants. No, he wants you as a sacrifice without knowing what he's going to do with you. And so the first place in me getting to become an effective member of a local church, it's a personal, you have a responsibility to this place to present yourself. Not only is it reasonable service because of the mercies of God that he just talked about in Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 11, but I've got a responsibility. I have a responsibility to study my Bible. You say, why? God's called me to pastor you. He's called me to feed you. Yeah, but that just kind of comes. They that labor in the word. That's what the Bible says, labor. And I got to tell you, sometimes It can be stressful. Well, I could send away and for $30 maybe get 6 months worth of outlines and get up and but that I don't consider that feeding. And sometimes you're waiting on God and you're reading and you're studying and God's not giving you anything and you want something. God, I want to feed them. God, what do I do? Lord, give me something. I'll give it to them. Lord, is there something I have to deal with? Man, you're studying the Bible and you're trying to learn the Bible. Understand? Listen, there's an awesome responsibility. And I'm not trying to say, woo-hoo, like this to me. But I'm telling you what, I've gone home and said, God, I don't want to lead anybody astray. That scares the life out of me. I don't want to lead anybody astray. I want to tell them right. I believe I'm right, but God, I'm open. You know what that is? There's an element of sacrifice in assuming a position God wants you to have in the body. Sacrifice. We just heard it this morning. Good message. Carelessly, living carelessly with attendance. God bless you for being back. A lot of people aren't. I don't know who. I do my best not to go like that. But a lot of people aren't. They're not back. Can I please say what that is? That is a personal responsibility as a member of a local church. I can tell you, church, you'd know the church. If I told you the pastor, you know the pastor's name. It's a good church. A good church. They run the same number. I mean, virtually the same number in all services. Virtually the same number. I was talking to the pastor, and he said, "Well, brother, actually, when someone," he said, when they want to join our church, we tell them, saying, "Unless you've been visiting, and that's good, and we're glad to have you, and you'd like to join, and that's good, we'd be glad to have you join. But if you're not planning to come to all the services, we just certain you remain a visitor." How many people you see walk away from there? But you ain't serious about it? He's serious about it. Hey, listen, if you had a business, how often would you want your employees to show up? Are we all right? But this isn't a business. No, it's a body. And can I tell you, this body's been called to the most important business in the world. Would you not agree with that? There's nothing more important than the commission that God has given the local church. You have a business that will be here. I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, come on. An hour, okay, an hour and a half. 2.5 hours, okay. 2.5 hours, 3. Come on. You know, there's people out there, and they pay this unthinkable amount of money to go in and sit down for 3 hours and watch some movie about something that isn't even real. And we can't sit down for 2 hours around the Word of God to be edified and challenged by the Scripture. Listen, listen. Well, preacher, listen, sometimes I come and it's not that good. Have you ever burnt dinner? I mean, everybody doesn't get it right all the time, amen. You know, sometimes you fall flat. Hey, the next time you say, well, the preacher's been falling flat lately, you're welcome to get up here and show me how it's done. I'd be glad to sit and watch to see you fall flat. Amen. You've heard it. You heard that story about the guy that was kind of impressed. You know, he was a preacher, and his wife told. He said that she said, "There's a box up in the attic. Please don't ever go up there and get it. Please never, don't ever open it up." And she was gone one time. He couldn't stand it. He had to get. I went there and he found the box. He opened it up, and there were like 24 eggs in there. And she said, "You know, she got home and said, honey, I did something. I looked in the box. You didn't. I did." There was 24 eggs, and there was a roll about that big of money. And he said, eggs? She was upset, and she said, okay, fine. Look, you know what? This is what it is. You've been pastoring for years, and every time you'd lay an egg, I'd put an egg up there. And honestly, he's pastored for several years, and he's thinking, man, 24 eggs in these many, many years, not too bad. And he's thinking, wow. We said, well, what's the money for? That's all the money I made for selling the dozens of eggs. Everybody burns dinner sometimes, all right? You know what bugs me? I'm saying that as kindly as I can say it. But you have people come in and visit. They'll sit down, and if service didn't go real well, that's the last time you ever see them. Come on. Come on. I mean, if you come out, say, I think I'll come to a Sunday night service. I've seen that. They'll come to a Sunday night service finally. I mean, they've been a member and they come out Sunday night and it went flat that night. Okay, it went flat. Fine. Come back and give it a few times at least. Amen. And if you can avoid laying eggs, please meet me and tell me how you can do it. Amen. Right. Yeah. But you know, listen, I wish we could have a little bit of the creativity of the food world. Now, for a while, I got interested. I'm sorry if this disappoints you in me. I'm so sorry. But I got interested in these food shows where they cook. I didn't know there was such a thing as balance. Oh, we're going to put some sugar in to balance the acidity. And I've never even gone that deep in my food, all right? I just stick it in my mouth and chew. It's what I do. But they're doing all this stuff. And I learned a phrase. Now, this phrase comes when they mess it up. When they mess it up, they just put it in a bowl and they call it deconstructed. It's a deconstructed taco, which means it fell apart. It's a deconstructed cake, which means it fell. And so I'm going to say, sometimes you come to church and you get a deconstructed message. Amen. You know, I wish we could have some southern... Listen, how many have ever been to Cracker Barrel? You know why they give you gravy and they give you grits? So you can pour it on top of your eggs and cut it up until it looks like hog slop. And you eat that hog slop and say, man, that's really good. That's good stuff. Well, every once in a while you come to church, you might get some hog slop. Why don't you enjoy it like Cracker Barrel? Amen. I don't know where I'm going on this. Personal responsibility. The presentation is a sacrifice. Present our bodies. Then there's a condition of that sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. It's not just, okay, you can have all of me, God. He wants a holy sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1, having then these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. He said, cleanse yourselves. And so there's a duty that, Lord, you want a clean sacrifice. You want a spotless sacrifice. You want a sacrifice that is holy. And it is my responsibility and is your responsibility, personal, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You say, what are you saying? God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Well, preacher, I will do whatever God wants me to do. Yeah, here's the problem. The problem is when leadership that God's placed says, would you do this? No, I'm not doing that. You know, there in 1 Corinthians, it says there were some that were Apollos. I'm Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Look up here. The most dangerous group was I'm of Christ. No one could lead them. It ever occur to you that when God says, follow me, he always gave you a person, someone on this earth to follow. When he says, give to me, he always gave you an earthly area. It was the tabernacle, or it's the church. Somewhere where you can give. Someone you can follow. Children, obey your parents. When you do that, you're doing me. Or you're following me. Romans chapter 13. Though they obey the powers, they obey God. You break it, you're disobeying him. It's when you obey them. What did he say over there in Matthew? He said, in that you did it one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. What do you say to Paul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Paul or Saul hadn't touched Jesus Christ. He touched his people. I would to God we could realize that someone saying, well, you know what? I follow Jesus. That means literally nothing unless you're following someone. Did you hear what I said? Following Jesus means nothing. I don't care how pious you are. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. If you're not following someone that's put in your life that you're supposed to follow, you're not spiritual and you're not following Jesus. Biggest cop out in the world. We ought to obey God rather than men. Well, God said, love your wives. And God said, submit to your husbands. And God said, obey your parents. And God said, submit yourself to those that have the rule over you. So are we really submitting ourselves to God or not? No. We just found an excuse to where we can say, I'll do what I want. And a body doesn't work well when the in particular members say, I want to do what I want. Now, I believe with all my heart that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I've tried to foster a spirit of liberty in this church. But can I tell you the greatest members I've got? Oh, not here. I got your attention then, didn't I? Can I please tell you the greatest members I've got in this body? Are the ones that do what I need them to do and I never have to tell them. Not one time standing here have I told my heart to beat, but it has. Not one time here have I told my lungs to breathe in air, but they have. Isn't it nice when you have someone and they say, Pastor, listen, I'd like to take this off your shoulders. You can trust me, it'll get done. Amen. I'm thankful for my hands. I pick things up with them, and I do some woodworking with them, and I fix cars with them. I'm glad for my feet. They take me where I want to go and so on, but sometimes my legs cramp. But I got to tell you, I've always been amazed. I don't even feel that liver working, but apparently it is. I don't feel my pancreas operating, but apparently it is. You have members in your body, and they do, and they are, listen, they're not the most beautiful members, but they are the most important members. What kind of member do you want to be? Preacher, if you need anything done, let me know. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm not trying to dismiss that at all. I told you years ago, I used to help my dad in the garage, and he said, let's go out and work on a car. He didn't mean let's work on a car. He said, come out and watch me work on the car is what he meant. All I got to do was hold the light, and I've told you the story about light on the subject and all that. I think I've told you this story. I forget which car we were working on, but I was watching him. And more than one time I'd say, Dad, can I work on the... No, you learn by watching. Watch, you know. And so it was a... I learned what a combination box in, open in was. And I learned the half inch and 9/16 and 5/8 and 3/8 and 7/16 and so on. Back then we had those. It wasn't... Does anybody here work on cars at all? You work on vehicles at all? Don't you get sick and tired? I mean, either go with metric or go back with standard. Good night. I mean, about the time you get a 9/16 and find that's a 15 millimeter and you want to clobber someone with the 15 millimeter. That had nothing to do with his message. But I was there and I saw what he was getting ready to do and I knew he was going to need a wrench and I knew the wrench and I went over and got it and all of a sudden Dad said, I need it. I said, here. And it stopped him. And he got from underneath, he said, you know, Joe, he always called me Joe. And he said, you know, Joe, he said, there's two different kinds of workers. There's those that get what you need, and there's that will watch you and know what you need and get it for you. He said, that's the greatest worker. And thank God for people in this place that have taken things off of me. What I'm going to talk about, and I'm just going to skip toward the end of the message right now, okay? You need to present your body's living sacrifice, and that means it's not about what you want. It's about what the body needs. It's about what the body needs. Yeah, I'm going to be plain. We're trying to develop some things that we believe that we need in the church. We've been working on a security team. How many would agree it's probably good if the security team shows up for church? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be honest. Listen, if you decided not to do your homework last night, don't blame me if you're called out for getting an F. See, I just think it makes sense that if I've got a responsibility, I need to be there. And if I can't be there, I'm going to call and tell someone I'm not going to be there. How many would say that makes sense? You see, the underlying foundation for a servant says, I will serve them. I'm going to be a servant to that guy. That's the guy the pastor put over this. I'm going to be a servant to him. I'm going to be a servant for that guy. That's the guy the pastor put over that. I'm going to be a servant. What do you need? Can I help you? What do you need? You need teachers? He'd like to train some teachers. We're not going to have a larger Sunday school. No reason to expect more kids to come in. Why would the Lord send more kids in if we don't have more teachers? What do we need? We need more teachers. I'll be a teacher. Have you made yourself a living sacrifice? Are you wholly acceptable unto the Lord? So he addresses these personal, if you would, responsibilities. I don't believe that we should have teachers that cannot say, I read my Bible every day. Well, I think you're a little extreme. No, I think if you're teaching the Bible, I mean, how would you like if I said, you know, it's been about 3 weeks. I haven't read my Bible. I really got a charge this week. Would you sit back and say, wonderful, the pastor read his Bible after 3 weeks? Or would you say, uh-oh. Listen. Let's not plan to put more on somebody else than what we're willing to put on ourselves. The fact is we need living, those that have gone to the Lord and say, I'll be a living sacrifice. He said, wonderful. They need some teachers. Wonderful, Lord, I'll be a teacher. You're not ready yet. You haven't even read through your Bible one time. How long have you been saved? Why don't you start reading through your Bible? Why don't you begin to learn the breakdowns of the Bible? Become a student of the Bible before you try to teach students. Oh, Lord, I mean, I'm really busy. Sacrifice. A local church works when we have people that take on the personal responsibility of saying, I will be a living sacrifice. When they take on the personal responsibility, and that sacrifice will be holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And I said all that. This is kind of a long getting to really what I wanted to say, and I won't be long with you, so please pay attention, okay? After he deals with the personal responsibility, he goes to what is known as the spiritual gifts. Look at them. Because there's one in particular I want to look at tonight. In Romans chapter 12, he says in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Wasn't it the Jews that looked at Paul and perceived that he was given grace to go to the Gentiles? Seems to me it was. Seems to me that they recognized that he had grace given to him. How in the world did they ever see grace? Because of the work he was doing. You see, when in a local church you're looking for workers and leaders and so on, you're looking for people that the grace of God is apparent in their life. The working of the grace of God is apparent. Because he says you're given gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And he says this, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And I want to spend a few minutes on this one. Or what? Verse 7. Your vocal cords are broke. Or what? Ministry. What ministry? What? Well, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, we do. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a general statement. Ministry, you have a ministry? You have a ministry. I want you to listen carefully to this, okay? Ministry. He said, then wait on it. Give attention to it, time. Like a waiter would wait on a table. Don't just leave your ministry sitting there. Give time to it. Put effort into it. Put work into it. Of all the things that I'll stand before Jesus Christ someday at the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, I'm sorry. One thing I believe I can say is, Lord, I did take studying to show myself approved, and I did take feeding the flock seriously. I can say that. I'm not saying I was the best at it, but I can say, Lord, I did my best. Ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Can I take you to a few places real quick this evening and show you this ministry? I'm going to show you a principle. Look up here. I'm going to show you a principle on this ministering, and I want everybody in this church to get it, okay? Go, if you would, to Exodus 24. Exodus chapter 24, please, in your Bibles. Exodus 24. And in Exodus 24, we're just going to have one verse to read. I want you to look what it says. Verse 12, and it says, and I'll just read two verses. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tablets of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his, what? Joshua. Joshua was Moses' minister. You see what he do? He ministered. That's deep, isn't it? Look up here and let me make it real simple for you. Look up here. Don't miss this. Joshua was Moses' minister. He ministered to Moses. Moses was his ministry. Moses was Joshua's ministry. What did he do? I'm assuming whatever Moses needed. He rose up. Where are you going? I've got a ministry to take care of. What's your ministry, Moses? Well, can't he do it for himself? It's not that he can. That's my job. I need to take that off of him. When a church organizes, it typically organizes from the pastor down. There are people. Brother Ray takes care of the Sunday school nursery and the educational side of it. You know, he needs people. Listen carefully. He needs people that will make him their ministry. How many understand what I just said? You know what a pastor needs? A pastor needs some men that'll make him their ministry. That's what every pastor needs it. What do you need? Or sometimes just figuring out, you know what, he needs doesn't need to be disturbed. I can take care of this. I don't need to go see him about this. Listen, I got to tell you something. I'll just use them. I'll embarrass the life of them. How that? There's a couple guys in the church right now, and I started working on these rooms. I tear things up real well. I just don't fix them very well. That's all. And I tore them all up like that, and they jumped onto it. We worked for a few days. We worked together, and we had a good time laughing and making fun of each other. Isn't it neat how when you get together and you're Christians together in the same church body, and you just make fun of each other, and it seems to be fun? That's just a weird thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's a weird thing. But we worked on it, and it got to the place where I was really getting behind, and I stepped away from it because I had to. And they stayed at it, and they went down, and I'd hear them. I was just one person they couldn't make fun of, so it was reduced as far as the making fun of group, right? And they worked away on it, and I'd go back down. Boy, they were getting that thing done. I thought, Lord, and I would walk away, and they don't know this, but I would walk away and say, God, please bless those guys. You say, why? Because they're ministering to me right now. I promise you this. I promise you that I'll do my best not to be careless with my time if you'll take some of the things that really I may not have time for and you'll make that your project and you'll minister to me. I promise you I won't become careless with that and be wasteful with my time. I'll use it properly. But I'm supposed to be feeding this flock and I'm supposed to be caring for the flock. And thank God for men like that. He's not here tonight, but Jim, he said, what can I do? And I said, well, they're done and the plasterings or the drywall's done. We need to have paint. He said, I love painting. And I thought, oh man, I love you. I hate painting, man. I hate painting. I hate drywall. I like 2x4s. Did I ever tell you I like 2x4s? I like 2x4s. You put them up, you walk away. Why can't rooms just be made out of 2x4s? All right? But he said, I'll try to get the stuff. I'll try to get the paint over here. He said, no. He said, listen, just tell me what you want. I'll take care of it. And I came back and it was done. I saw him this morning and I said, you have really got yourself in trouble. And he said, what? I said, you can paint very well and I've got a lot of painting at the house I need done. But God bless you. You know what they did? You know what they did? And I say this, I feel somewhat awkward in saying this, but I've got to say it because it's the way a church works. They ministered to me. Joshua ministered to Moses. That's not the only place it shows up. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go over to go to 1 Samuel 2:11. 1 Samuel 2:11. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, you know the passage, you know the story. But chapter 2:11, the Bible says, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child Samuel, the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now he's ministering unto the Lord. Yeah, see right there, preacher, he's ministering to the Lord, but he's doing it under Eli and before Eli. And so make no mistakes, it's not like this little boy's running around and Eli says, hey, son, I need a glass of water. He said, get it yourself, I'm busy ministering to the Lord. That's not what was going on here. He was ministering unto the Lord as he was directed by Eli. And so I can once again say this. Eli was his ministry. Could I bring it down? Because this will never be greater than the homes that we have here. Can I see this? Listen, there's a verse I can prove. Guys, there's an element where you're to minister unto your wife. She is your ministry. Ladies, could I say that there is an element I can prove from Scripture that that husband of yours, you are to minister unto him. He is your ministry. You getting the idea of this, what this body's all about? This idea of ministering the body. If you got a ministry, then wait on your ministering. Well, you've got a ministry. You got a ministry within your home. So what do I do in the church here? Listen, listen. One, you show up. God bless you for being here. Another is you contribute. But when you begin to spend time in the Word, and God begins to minister to you through that Word, you know what happens? All of a sudden, you become a minister to people you don't even realize. You might be provoking them to study their Bible, or you might be able to encourage them. You have no idea, but there have been multitudes of people sitting in this room right now, and they helped me with something God showed them. Iron sharpening iron. I won't go to the passage. We got to finish. There's a place over there when Elisha takes off and he starts going with Elijah. There's a place over there where they're describing it says, this is Elisha who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Poured water. What would he do that for? Because fried chicken gets your hands greasy. And so he's eaten and he's done. And he goes over there away from the camp a little bit. He said, Elisha, he said, get some water and help me rinse my hands off here. And Elisha, the great prophet Elisha, his ministry was getting some water and going over and pouring it on his hands. Stop. Okay. Okay, give me a little bit more. Well, that seems so menial. You know what your pituitary gland does? You don't even know if you still have one or not. You've never felt it. You've never seen it. Pretty important, though. You know, the more that everybody says, that living sacrifice says, God, you know what? If I have a ministry, it's not going to be about me. As pastor of the church, God called me to be the overseer. I've done my best and I've tried to be a good overseer. There's many areas in the ministry that could use people that would say, I'll minister to you, pastor, in that area. Well, preacher, I just think the church, listen, the Bible says, submit yourself to those that have the rule over you, that care for your soul, because they're going to give an account. They're going to answer for it. I'm going to answer for this. Do you understand that biblically? You're not going to answer for it. I am. Do you all get that? I can easily tell you this. It's my ministry. The church is the ministry that God gave me, and then he gave members to say, listen, would you be minister to the pastor? We had to go out of town. Brother Ray stepped up. He ministered. I can't tell you what a blessing that is. I can just step away. That's a blessing. I'm glad for that. Things around here work. They do. Ladies downstairs, the babies get taken care of, and, you know, diapers. Aren't you glad diapers get changed? All that gets done. I'm glad they get changed, and I don't do anything about it. That's what I'm really glad about. But the fact is that stuff gets done. At nighttime, we're going to get done. We're going to shake hands and fellowship a little bit, and we're going to go out. And there'll be a man back there, and he'll be waiting around for everybody to get done. He'll make sure those doors are locked. He'll make sure the office doors are locked, the lights are turned out, and that door's locked. You say, well, that's not a lot. And yet more than one time on Sunday night, about 12:30, I wake up, and I think, oh, the doors. And I say, Brother Hike got them. I thank God for some people that will take music and they'll practice on it so they can have a piano to listen to sing to. You know what they're ministering. I want a church where we say, God, It's not that matter that I don't know what my ministry is. Well, there's people around here that you could make your ministry. God, I want to be, and let me tell you something. I'd be glad. There's some things I can't give up. There's some things I can't hand off. Boy, there's a bunch of stuff. Things that need to get done, things that should get done. We're going to go out. We're going to go out July 17th, and we're going to go down there to, did you hear me? The body's going to go down there. The body's going to go down there. I hope we don't show up down there and it's kind of like, where's your right arm? I didn't bring it tonight. You know, where's your left leg? Didn't show up yet, but I'm here. Now we think that's funny, but the fact is the church is going to do something publicly. And if we have five people out there, you know what's going to happen? They'll laugh us to scorn. Do you understand that? So the body needs to say, you know what? I need to be there. The body needs me. Are we all right? This was just meant as an introduction. And I mean that because in subsequent weeks, I'm going to talk about how a local church operates. I'm talking very unvarnished and very, I'm not parsing words. I'm just throwing them out there. I'm not trying to think all that. So I'm not trying to be mean. There's no place I'd rather serve. I love everyone here. But God help us. We need some people to say, you know, I'm going to step up to the plate because there's a need there in the ministry. And this part of the body's not working very well. Maybe I could help in that area. There's a need in this area of the body. Maybe I could help in that. Listen, thank God for people, and I'm done. Thank God for people in this church that I can ask them to take care of it, and I never have to check up on it. Several years ago, I preached a message. I preached a message on quit putting it back on my plate. Yeah. Someone would say, well, I'll paint that room. Wonderful. Good, good. What color you want it? I say, I just get some shade of green. And they bring me back the color charts. I didn't want this. I just said some gray. He goes, if I don't like it, it's my fault. I just said some shade of green. Amen. I thank God for those people. I can say, can you handle that? I'll take care of that. What we need is we need a body of people like that that will say, you know what, whether it be pouring water, whether it be weeding the grounds, whether it be watching kids, whether it be teaching a Sunday school class, whether it be getting water for the pastor and having it. I thank God for that. I really do. I'm going to have me a drink now in just a second. I'm going to go back there. I do. I thank God for that. You say, that's a small thing. This morning wasn't a small thing. He needed a drink. Thank God for that. I've said enough. There's a personal responsibility every one of us have. I'll never amount to anything in here until I say, God, I'll be a living sacrifice. And God, I'll do my best by your grace. I want to be holy and acceptable unto you. And I want you to give me grace. I'm going to be in that word. And I want you to give me grace because I want a gift to use. I don't know. I may not even know what it is. But when someone needs ministered to and you begin to use me to minister to them, I'll lose for them. I'll do without for them. I'll suffer loss for them. I'll do something humbling. I'll just pour water if that's what you want me to do, Lord. I just want to be a minister. I'm done with this. Is anybody getting sick and tired that in COVID they've taught us how to wash our hands? I am so fed up with, I've known how to wash my hands for years. If I want to wash my hands, I'll wash. And if I want to sing Oh McDonald till it's done, I'll do it. And if I don't, I won't. Oh McDonald had a farm. Isn't that the dumbest thing you ever heard in your life? Put your hand up there. Wash it without the other one. Smart aleck. Amen. All right, folks, listen. God's given us a good ministry. He's given us opportunity to serve. He's given us good people to serve with. But there are needs, and we have to step up to the plate if we're going to do more for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, please.